Every time a new gene for something makes headlines, we collectively gasp at the implications. Remember when Dolly the sheep was cloned and people feared we'd soon be creating identical minds and personalities? This reaction reveals a fundamental misunderstanding about how genes actually work. The media bombards us with oversimplified narratives. Scientists find gene for depression, or DNA test predicts athletic ability, creating the illusion that our DNA is destiny. But what if I told you this perspective is fundamentally flawed? Genes don't determine behaviors in isolation. They produce proteins that create tendencies to respond to environmental stimuli in certain ways. An anxiety gene doesn't make you anxious, it makes you more responsive to anxiety-provoking situations. Depression-related genes don't cause depression, they make you more vulnerable to stressors. This explains why geriatric depression is epidemic in Western societies, but rare in traditional cultures, where elders maintain their status and purpose. A perfect illustration of how environmental context shapes genetic expression. Most critically, genes aren't autonomous commanders, but responsive elements in a complex biological system. Over 95% of mammalian DNA serves as regulatory elements that determine when and how genes function, often in response to environmental signals. These regulatory regions act like molecular switches, turning genes on and off based on what's happening around us. The next time you hear about a gene for something, remember, genes don't determine our fate. They're tools used by environmental factors in an intricate biological dance. A groundbreaking science study revealed unexpected complexity in gene behavior relationships. Researchers conducted experiments with genetically identical mice across three laboratories, standardizing everything from food to handling techniques. The findings were perplexing. Some tests showed strong genetic influence, with genetics explaining up to 80% of trait variability. However, other tests revealed wildly divergent results despite identical genetics and environments. Most striking was cocaine-induced activity. Mice showed increases of 667 centimeters in Portland and 701 in Albany, but jumped to over 5,000 in Edmonton. Equivalent to genetically identical human triplets, where two could pole vault 18 feet, while the third soared to 108 feet. After extensive investigation, researchers concluded that subtle environmental factors could dramatically disrupt genetic effects. This landmark study demonstrates that while genes influence behavior, the relationship between genetic makeup and behavioral outcomes is far more complex than typically acknowledged. Even in harmonious relationships, a biological battleground exists between men and women. This conflict stems from two realities. Mating pairs share no genetic relationship, and reproductive costs are asymmetric. Females bear the substantial burden of pregnancy and lactation, while males invest minimal resources. This evolutionary tension creates a sophisticated arms race, demonstrated in fruit flies. Males produce seminal fluid containing toxins that eliminate competing sperm while damaging female reproductive tissue. Females have evolved detoxification mechanisms in response, creating a cycle of adaptation. The battle intensifies in mammals through genomic imprinting, where genes selectively silence one parent's contribution. Most imprinted genes control fetal and placental growth, with paternal genes promoting aggressive growth while maternal genes restrain it. The placenta becomes a battleground where paternal genes push for invasive nutrient extraction while maternal genes resist. When this balance is disrupted, serious pathologies result. Without paternal input, the placenta fails to implant properly. Without maternal restraint, aggressive placental cancer develops. An experiment with fruit flies showed that after 40 generations of enforced monogamy, males stopped producing toxins and females ceased producing antitoxins, suggesting this warfare responds to reproductive competition rather than being inevitable. Traditional cross-fostering studies initially supported genetic determinism. However, Darlene Francis at Emory University found that relaxed mice who developed in and were raised by timid strain mothers became just as timid as genetically timid mice, demonstrating that environmental influences begin before birth and can override genetic programming. At Princeton, Joe Tsien's knockout mice, lacking a critical learning receptor gene, showed remarkable improvement when placed in stimulating environments as adults, proving environmental intervention could overcome even missing neurological components. Avshalom Kaspi's longitudinal study revealed the depression risk variant of the serotonin-regulating gene 5-HTT only increased depression in individuals who experienced significant life stressors. Those with the same gene who avoided major stressors showed no increased risk, illustrating that genes matter primarily in how they interact with specific environments. Why are dreams so bizarre and emotionally intense? While theories about dreams have ranged from divine messages to psychological processing, brain imaging has revealed the neurological mechanics behind our nightly adventures. During REM sleep, brain activity increases dramatically, sometimes exceeding waking levels, but this activation is uneven. Areas processing emotion, memory, and sensory integration become highly active, while the prefrontal cortex, our brain's executive control center for rational thinking, remains largely inactive. This selective deactivation explains dreams' disinhibited nature. Without the brain's sensor functioning, we experience unconstrained emotions and impossible actions. The amygdala shows particularly intense activation, explaining dreams' powerful emotional content, while visual integration areas create vivid imagery without actual visual stimuli. Without prefrontal censorship, we experience underwater breathing, flying, telepathy, and impossible scenarios our waking mind would reject. Individual differences in prefrontal activity likely explain variations in dream content and recall. Those with highly active prefrontal cortices when awake might experience more vivid dreams when that control system deactivates during sleep. Our brains embody our essence, making brain damage particularly unsettling. The hippocampus, a seahorse-shaped structure in the temporal lobe, forms and retrieves long-term memories. When hippocampal neurons are repeatedly stimulated, their connections strengthen through long-term potentiation. They've learned something. PTSD patients have approximately 25% smaller hippocampi that function poorly during memory tasks, explaining their memory deficits, flashbacks, and confusion between past and present. This damage occurs because stress hormones called glucocorticoids, especially cortisol, harm the hippocampus. While beneficial during brief physical stress, these hormones become destructive when chronically elevated. The hippocampus, rich in glucocorticoid receptors, is particularly vulnerable. These hormones endanger neurons by damaging cells, causing neural connections to shrivel and killing hippocampal neurons. Stress and glucocorticoids also inhibit neurogenesis, the hippocampus's ability to generate new neurons, potentially preventing natural brain repair. While everyday stressors don't permanently damage our brains, these findings indicate an urgent need for research on preventing trauma-induced brain changes. We're drawn to simple explanations: nature versus nurture, genes versus environment, biology versus choice. Yet science reveals a more intricate reality where these forces interact rather than oppose each other. Our bodies and minds emerge from this complex interplay, with genes responding to environments and early experiences shaping biological patterns. This means rejecting oversimplified claims about genes for complex traits. Even identical twins develop differently based on their unique experiences. Trauma reshapes brain structures, while enriched environments can help heal genetic deficits. This perspective isn't just scientifically accurate, it's liberating. We exist at the intersection of biology and environment, where genetic tendencies interact with experiences to create something uniquely human. Remember Sapolsky's core insight. We are neither simply our genes nor simply our experiences, but the product of their ongoing conversation.